It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Greetings to you and welcome to our show. So glad you could join us today. On this show, our guest is Dr. Richard Kim. After graduating magna cum laude from St. Louis University School of Medicine, Dr. Kim did his residency at NYU Medical Center and a fellowship in epilepsy surgery at Yale University School of Medicine. Dr. Kim currently serves as medical director of Hoag Epilepsy Center. That is a very impressive resume, sir. We are glad to grab you for a few minutes today. Welcome, Dr. Kim.
Thank you. Good to be here.
The subject at hand is epilepsy, and more specifically, epilepsy surgery. Are we talking about new techniques and procedures or a refinement of long-standing surgeries for patients with epilepsy?
Well, really both. The long-standing surgical treatments continue to be very effective, and in some areas we're refining which types of patients do better with the more established surgeries. But in addition, as you can imagine, technology is always moving forward and new procedures are being developed for mm-hmm. epilepsy surgery.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the symptoms you're able to alleviate with surgery?
The goal of surgery is always to stop the seizures. And the goal of any epilepsy treatment, surgical or otherwise, is really no seizures and no side effects. And that's a very high bar,
sure.
But it's a bar that all doctors who treat people with epilepsy really should strive for. And we may not always reach that 100%, mm-hmm. but the higher we reach, the more we can accomplish.
Absolutely.
So, and surgery is no different. So the surgical goals are to eliminate the seizures. And there are basically three types of surgeries that can be done.
Okay.
One is called resection, in which we find a focus in the brain in which the seizures are arising.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a scar or some other lesion, and we remove it. And, of course, we do a lot of mapping techniques to make sure that that can be done safely.
Right.
The second type of surgery is called a disconnection, where instead of removing the part of the brain that's causing epilepsy, we disconnect it from the rest of the brain.
That's called the bridge, right?
Right, and a common example of that is a callosotomy, where we split the two halves of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be very effective for certain kinds of seizures.
But doesn't that eliminate seizures from one happening on one side of the brain? What about the other side?
Yeah, and that's a great question. This technique is only useful for certain types of seizures, in which both halves of the brain have to synchronize in order for the seizure to happen. So if they can't synchronize, there are no seizures.
Excellent.
But if there are certain partial seizures that arise from one side, then this technique really won't be applicable.
Okay. And then did we do the third type of surgery yet?
Yeah, the third type of surgery is stimulation.
Okay.
That's a more recent development.
Right.
We can apply electrical stimulation to various parts of the nervous system to either reduce seizures or to eliminate them altogether.
Now, this involves the implantation of a device, correct?
That's right.
Maybe we could talk a little bit more about that procedure, because it's really intriguing.
Yeah, currently the only FDA-approved stimulation technique is called the vagus nerve stimulator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wire electrode that stimulates the vagus nerve in the neck, which is one of the nerves that goes down from the brain to the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And these signals travel up into the brain to various regions, and they make the brain essentially more resistant to having seizures.
Okay.
So the vagus nerve stimulator is not a cure for epilepsy, but it can, on average, reduce seizure frequency by about half
is good.
in most cases, it's very worthwhile.
And what about the severity of the seizures in addition to the frequency?
That's right. Often the seizures themselves may be less severe, shorter. We also see improvements in overall well-being, attention, learning. So the VNS has been proven to really be very worthwhile in most of the people who have it.
When does a patient know it's time to explore the possibility of surgery?
The time to think about surgery is when medications are not working. The minimum would be if there has been failure of at least two frontline medications.
Okay.
And some meds are frontline and others are add-on, but neurologists know which are which. But really, in the old days, some patients used to be put on multiple medications and be put on multiple different medications for years and years before they were declared intractable, which means not responsive to medications.
Okay.
But now we're trying to be more aggressive and trying to get patients to recognize patients earlier on in their course, mm-hmm. get them to surgery so that we can have better results.
Great. Now, are there patients with epilepsy who should by all means avoid going the surgical route?
Unfortunately, only about 25% of patients who are medically intractable can be candidates for surgery. You know, they have to have a surgical target.
Mm-hmm.
And other patients who are not surgical candidates, unfortunately, we don't have a surgical target. But with the newer techniques such as deep brain stimulation, mm-hmm. Many of those patients may become candidates for surgery.
That's really interesting. I'd really like to explore that, the procedure of the implantation, and again, a little bit more about the vagus nerve situation and how mm-hmm. this implantation helps with the stimulation.
Yeah, so the deep brain stimulation is has been investigated for several years now in large-scale clinical trials with a large numbers of patients with epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to look like a very promising treatment. And in that procedure, instead of a wire in the neck, wires go actually into the brain, hence the name deep brain stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And the wires run under the scalp, and they attach to a computer and a generator under the skin, in mm-hmm. the chest, just like a cardiac pacemaker.
It's like a pacemaker for the brain, essentially.
Yeah, except in this case, the stimulation is meant to disrupt the pathways that produce seizures.
Okay.
And, a lot of the basic science of how this actually works is still being worked out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is empirical. It's been tried in animals, it's been tried in a few human beings, and that's how we arrived at these targets. So a lot of the basic science we still, are still exploring.
Right. Okay, so you have the implant, and I understand that there's something called an aura before a seizure, and once you have those signs of aura, you can take a magnet and place it in front of the implant. Maybe you could explain it better than I can.
Yeah, the vagus nerve stimulator is designed really as a long-term device, so it causes long-term changes in the brain that make the brain resistant to seizures, and that's how it cuts down on the frequency of seizures.
Mm-hmm.
So typically we see the seizure frequency reduce over a period of 3 to 6 months after the VNS has been turned on.
Okay.
But there is an option, and the patient has the ability to deliver an extra jolt if they feel a seizure coming on. And so that extra jolt is stronger than the normal stimulation that they're getting constantly. In some cases, that extra jolt is enough to abort a seizure or maybe shorten it or make it milder.
Mm-hmm. And so, in other cases, at least it alerts them.
Right, yeah. And so this magnet that patients have allows them some control over the VNS. They can give an extra stimulation or they can turn it off if they need to temporarily.
Wow. So the patient really needs to be involved in he has to be a participant in this.
They can be, or they can just be completely uninvolved, and the computer just delivers the stimulations automatically.
I see. Okay. Wow, it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think we have time for one more question. Tell us, I think we briefly got into the corpus callostomy. How do you pronounce that? Corpus callostomy?
Callosotomy.
Callosotomy, sorry. We deeply got into that, but... One thing is, if you could take us through the first step of a patient who is coming to you to explore the possibility of undergoing epilepsy surgery. You have a team that will spend some time with this person, right?
That's right. So there is a long process that occurs and a lot of testing that occurs to actually get the patient to the stage of thinking about surgery.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to stop you there, but we will continue this discussion. Thank you so much, Dr. Richard Kim, for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Dr. Kim by visiting hoaghospital.org. And remember to share this excellent information with your friends, spouses, and your family by downloading a podcast of this show or any other 24 hours a day on demand. Stay tuned for much more ahead. I'm Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio.